Interactive and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian.
Let's go, let's go.
Today's podcast, Mirage of Black, is sponsored by the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, BTC, Nassau Motor, and J.S. Johnson.
Now, we didn't say it. They said it.
Yep.
Shawnee Miller is the best in the world. In the 400.
Don't be best in the world then.
That means we's the best in the world.
Preach, Bishop.
This what you call another one. Another goal.
Who are we? The best in the world. Who are we? The best in the world. Who are we? The best in the world. Shawnee win gold. Who are we? The best in the world. Who are we? The best in the world. Who are we? The best in the world.
Cold. Cold as ice.
On your mark, get set, go.
She coming.
On your mark, get set, go.
She rolling.
On your mark, get set, go.
Or shoots.
Shawnee win gold. On your mark, get set, go. On your mark, get set, go. On your mark, get set, go.
Y'all keep the silver, we get the gold.
She saved the best for last.
Yes, sir.
And she could roll.
Spongin.
Ain't no more diving. Shawnee Miller rolling. Oh, on your mark, get set, go.
Run, guys.
On your mark, get set, go. Shawnee Miller, get that gold.
I talking a big nasty gap.
She said the best of last. And she could roll. Ain't no more Shawnee Miller smoke them. Oh, on your mark, get set, go. On your mark, get set, go.
Are you ready?
Shawnee Miller, get that gold.
Big time gold journalists. Don't forget what they say.
Big emphasis.
All right.
Best in the world. Had greatness in her from she was a young bohemian girl.
Okay,
long like fettuccine, but she fast like Lamborghini.
M freaking G. My girl. My champion. Oh, she had me a flutter. I tell you, that's amazing, you know. I have to say, in reality, you know, I try to figure out what were the happiest moments in my life, like the most joyous moments in my life. And, you know, I would love to say, you know, pushing out all of my children was that exciting. No. No, not even close. No. It didn't hurt. Shawnee was just pure joy. Stevie, pure joy. Can I just say, to watch Shawnee run across that finish line with all of that space, that gap, right? Allyson Felix, the most decorated American athlete, I think Olympic athlete, there is. Third, yep. No diving for Shawnee, boo. No. By the way, can I just say a special thank you to solo being an Olympic musician, like Olympic level? How does Solo come up with these things as quickly as he does? He's crossing the finish line as soon as the athletes cross the finish line. And so it's very exciting. I'm very proud. And so, of course, you know, I'm calling everyone, right? Like, I'm calling everybody. I even called my mommy to make sure she was awake. She was, but not interested in what I was interested in. But we digress. So it's a big day, of course. I have my good friend, C.A. Nuri, who will be joining me in a minute. But I called my, another, like, one of the best, when you have a phone and then you have numbers, like, the fact that he answered my call is always a joy. And he and his wife don't seem to age at all. And we were supposed to do another show. So now they're forcing me to have to do that show, which we didn't ever get to book. But you see athletes, or you see people do perform great feats. And what we have to always remember is that there's support, there's a village. And there is not, right now I'm wondering, is there a greater sports family? Because I mean, my God, you think they could be involved in sports anymore. I have joining us the father of the Olympic athlete, the one and only president of the Coaches Association himself. And, you know, I don't know if y'all know his Mrs. Miller is also on the B3A board. These people don't have anything to do but sports. That's what I tell you. Shawn Miller. Shawn, darling, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, Ms. Black. How are you? And thank you for having me on your show.
Listen, it's a pleasure to have you. It's a pleasure on this day. I can still see you beaming with pride. Your daughter did it again, my boy. She did it again.
Yes, through the grace of God, she certainly did. And, you know, I was overwhelmed to see the response from the Bohemian public. A lot of people were telling me that they were on the road at that time and there was no traffic, but everybody stayed home to watch that race. And
yes.
Man, yes, it's a humbling feeling, you know what I mean? To know that you're loved by all.
and loved by all, without a doubt, here locally, abroad, by all. Tell me about it, though. This is different. This is you guys have always traveled with, especially last Olympics, you were there. This time, Tokyo said, no, you can't come. So you were watching this at home like everyone else, not in the video, in the stadium. Tell me about what you guys spoke about before then the race itself.
This experience was a totally different one. You know, the duel moving back and forth with Shanae has lasted almost 20 or a little over 20 years now. Mm-hmm. But this one was really different. There was a lot of prayers that went up with her. This one was to prove that it's not by might, but by the grace of God. This is truly, truly a lesson this time. Because all of the other competitions that we had leading up to this date, we were always leaning on her training, her performance, and her will to win. But this time, she was struck with injuries. This time, we were going to bed, not certain if she would be able to show up. There was, I think it was the semifinals, I had a hard time getting into her. And I was just watching to see when they came out of the call room to see if she would show. It was that close of a call.
Wow.
And, you know, she told me after the semi, she said, Daddy, this only have to be the grace of God right here. She said, because just before she went into the call room, her legs was giving her a lot of problem. Then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, it just started to ease off.
Wow.
And she knew for certain. This one was, there was so much uncertainty inside this one that we just had to wait and see what happened. And I mean, look in which manner. She still went out there and ended up breaking the national record, came very close to the Olympic record, 2-time gold medalist. Wow, this is just too much to take in at once.
You know, that is something I really would like to dive into. If you're just tuning in, Sean Miller, father of the Olympic, 2-time Olympic champion, Shawnee Miller Weibo, and of course, president of the Bahamas Coaching Association. Sean, let's go into that injury, because of course we know that in one of the reasons why she pulled up in the final round was because of this injury. What type of injury? Do we know what it is at this point? And I'm sure she's not feeling it as much now as she was then.
Yeah. To be honest, this injury showed up months ago. If you remember the Boston street race, when she did that, she did that injured. You know, I felt so bad for her whole team, because they were really on track. They didn't get the adjustments that they wanted at the Olympics so she can double. And when they decided that, hey, we're going to go for both of them, if they don't give me a rest and I don't use a rest, they adjusted their training to accommodate the scheduling. And to come down with an injury when you're in prime shape, because at the time, I believe Shanae was in about 21-5 shape. And for her to come down with the injury, you know, was a misfortune at that time. At least that's how we were feeling. And she went in, she did the Boston street race because of her obligations to Adidas. You know, Adidas loves her, and she wants to show her loyalty back to Adidas. So she went inside there, and she just ran over the injury. And everybody was looking at the flash time, but she was so injured at that time. Then she came home here, did a little bit of work with her. I had her during nationals, and we were just getting through nationals. Of course, I was in close contact with Adidas at all times. We got through nationals. The injury started to heal up real nice. We went into Budapest. She did well over there. She came second, and then we went into Monaco. She was able to pull the victory off over there, and every day she was getting stronger and stronger on the legs, so we started to feel real good about it. And then we went into the Olympics. So here we go, heat one, first round, and on the push-off, she feels it. So now we are back to square one, trying to figure out what to do. And of course, at that time, we can't dare try to pull out of the 200 because there was so much controversy going over the ladies in the 200 meters. And, you know, that's a firestorm that's going to take off.
I'm telling you.
Yes, but so she did what she had to do. And when we went into the finals of the 200, a different spot on the leg. It wasn't the glutes tendon, it was the hamstring. That gave, and that started to yank. And while she was stretching that, she kind of tweaked the knee. Sophie was like, what? That's when she started saying, what is going on? But, you know, I was glad that she's based in God. She serves the great God Jehovah, and she's based in him. So she leaned on him. She was crying a lot, and she was praying hard, very, very hard. If you notice, after the semis of the 400, she dropped down, and she started praying and crying right away because she was just giving thanks that she was able to get around. At that stage, I felt a whole lot better because she actually got around the track. And then the following night, it was very painful on it, but we knew that that was just pain. So we didn't suspect any ligaments or anything like that. And we just went from there. When she went out, the instructions that she was given, she follows through. You know, she always follows through on the instructions. So she followed through, and that was not to take it out hard. Try and feel the leg and see where it is. Don't worry about who picks you up where. We weren't in there to break the record anymore. We were in there now to try and see if we can get around the track and bring home a gold for the Bahamas. And we were doing that. And by the time she got up to the 200, she told me that she felt really good. And she just started pressing on a little bit more and more. And she built into it. And then she swung for home. So that's how the whole race played out with the injuries and the victory itself. But we like to give God thanks again.
My God, when I tell you Sean Miller here, father of Shawnee Miller Weibo, president of the Bahamas Coaches Federation Association, thank you so much for telling us that, because many had no idea to the level of pain of what she was going through, and to know, and that's why you see such a praise when she was done, you know, that she laid on that track and just gave thanks to God. It was a feat of accomplishment, and it shows just what a warrior she is. Sean, so when you were, as you're watching this from home and you know all of this that's going on, when she crossed that line, and when did you know she had it? And when she crossed the finish line, what was going on in your house at that time?
Well, the point that I knew she won the race, because just hours before she competed, me and her, you know, we were on the phone, we were analyzing the race. And I was shocked with some of the times when we compared all of the semis, the times that they came up to the 300. And I said, wow, with all of that, she still came up to the 300 the quickest. So I said, you know, it's just a matter of fact, because she had shut down at the one. So I knew that we were out of trouble when she had cruised up to the 300. And her instructions was to take it very easy to the first 200. So by the time she put on the afterburners, I knew for certain that she didn't burn any energy, and we just wanted to make sure that the leg was good, you know, no damages. But in my house, oh my Lord, my wife, May, she started to freak out just before the start. So I had to come over and rub her feet down a little. And she's like, oh, Lord, you know, going back and forth. And I was like, oh, not the drama today. So afterwards, you know, I prayed that all the neighbors knew it was a race and that we weren't just having a domestic dispute, because, boy, it got loud in there, like very, very loud. All the screaming. And then the phone calls just started pouring in after that.
Yeah. You know, when I spoke with May briefly, I mean, the joy was still, she was still effervescent, you know. Sean, you and May have been in the sports community for so long, and you've both been such, you know, forces within the community and advocates for athletes. May with the B3As, yourself being a coach, and your daughter, of course, being an exceptional athlete, and your son also an exceptional athlete as well. What is it like if you were to, you know, as other parents who are going through this process and their kids? We know that Devon Charlton, her parents are also very involved with the sports. And so she got to make her first finals. So we're seeing a lot of involvement with parents in these sports. What is it for you when you go through time and you look at this moment, this big moment where your daughter finishes a 400 meter, she's an Olympic champion for the second time. What is it like for you when you think about all that you put together?
Well, you know, when I look at it all, you can't really look at it as work, you know. And this is why when I am training young kids and the parents aren't supporting the way I would like for them to support their children, it's not really work. It's like you're out there. It's an afternoon activity that you can be with your children. You have the ups and downs for track and field. At some point, you are the most dominant, and then boom, somebody pops in. Then before you know it, you're the most dominant again, and it's up and down, but it's so much fun, and time passes by so quickly. There are kids that we have going off to school right now this year, and I told them, I said, can you remember when I told you this time will pass so quickly? It really flies by, but I will encourage people to please. Track and field is something that Bahamians are talented with. I always tell them, I don't know if we have such good women sprinters because our women got such big bungies. Sorry,
That's what it is.
Right. But I tell them, I said, we're gifted here in the Bahamas. So put the child up there and let him or her prove themselves. Another thing that I'm going to start a campaign with, I mean, I've always been with, but this time I'm not going to be crying and begging for anything for Sinead. To try and see if I can take this moment right now and put this out there to the government to let them know that, hey, listen here, man, enough of the days when we just putting in pocket change to try and put into development. Do you know where most are spent on track and field? The majority of monies that are spent on track and field is spent on the travel for the athletes, the athletes when they make these times. That's when the majority of the money is spent from ministries. We don't have any development programs for the youths. We lose so much good kids. I always tell people, I said, how is it that the only kids that are fast are kids that go to private school? How is it? And I'll tell you why. Because after a period of time, you see talent, the first thing. Then there's training. You have to train afterwards. So a lot of the kids that have schools, they don't carry on. They don't continue. That's because we don't have enough funding in the public schools. We have to come through some of the clubs, I believe, and start making us accountable. Say, hey, now listen here. If we're going to put out this big deal jump-started in the Bahamas, then you guys are going to have to say a commitment. And that's where we go on the left. We will prayer, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. God spare our lives. Here's what will be happening in the country. Here's where we're spending our money. Don't put it in someone's hands that it's going to be accountable. That at the end of the day, if you was to mess that money up, you're going to face the fire as you are robbing kids. All right? And these kids, I've seen it so many times. I've seen kids that follow through. They just left over here. He's going to do his master's now. This is a guy that had absolutely no funding. There's no way in the world for him to go to a top-notch school that's going to pay him $60,000 a year schooling. And you know, if the guys, what it is, it's not that you're going to waste this money. This is an investment for the future. This is an investment for Bahamas in less than 15, 20 years.
Wow. Yeah, Sean Miller, Father.
It's very important.
You know, and one of the things, that's why I love the fact that, you know, we're having this conversation today, right? Because it's important, right at the heels of something so great, so historic, as to watch Shawnee cross the line and get her second Olympic gold. And I'm still questioning Sean, by the way, if you're just tuning in, Sean Miller, father of Shawnee Miller-Weibo, and of course, president of the Bahamas Coaches Association here. I'm still going to question if she's not getting a gold for the world in 2019 in Doha, but you'll let me know about that, because we, you know, that's a whole other kettle of fish on what's going on there. So, because I think that my sister won gold in the 400 in 2019.
Okay. I believe it's going to come back up because they know that they have to give her that gold medal. That was her. So you already bust all of those exams. That has to come back up. But you know what was so encouraging with that is that her Caribbean sisters right here in the NACAT region, they were the ones that stood up and fought that and said, no, you can bring that back. And you can find out because he just robbed one of our Caribbean sisters. And they pushed it to the extent, the athletes reps over here in our region, the North American and Caribbean region. and Central American region. And they pushed it, and they got this far. So I think that in the spirit of Olympics, they probably would let it float for now. But I believe it's going to come back up.
What did she say, Sean? Because there's so much. And we have to do the show again because I want to ask you, and I'm not going to ruin this moment about what happened and why one of your coaches came back. I won't ruin this moment with that story. So we'll do this something else again. But I have to ask you this. When she called, when you spoke to her, what was that conversation like?
Which one? When she called?
When she called today, right after the race. Sorry, when she called today.
Oh, well, after the race, you know, everything still be so wild and crazy. She was with Dr. Ricky Davis at the time, and she was prepping, and she still had to go and do all the interviews as far as the press conference and everything. So she just wanted to say quickly hi to everyone and, you know, thank you. And, you know, the normal little screaming up and down, little girly things that all a mom does. And yeah, that's how that conversation went.
So, what her mom does, the screaming. That's funny. I got you make it sound like she didn't stop screaming yet. Well, you know what? Thank you so much. And one of the things that I think is going to be, hopefully, that we get to see happen more so, Sean, and that you've mentioned, is that we put more funding into it. One of my issues is that we've kind of cut funding and not understanding how much sports is so important. And at a time when morale is low, this was so magical to see Stevie and Sean A not just take us to the podium, but take us there with gold in a dominant fashion. So it was very, very important to see. And so hopefully we get to spend more money. Final words or thoughts before you go?
Well, my final words is to see him one again. More funding, please. We need to help our kids. Bottom line.
We're going to do this again. And maybe you should get Moores Island a track because apparently they got some real special athletes out there. It's more, but that's pre-Dorian. I got to find out what's going on. Moores Island post-Dorian. I got
to
find out.
He's still there. Big up to Pastor Williams. He still has his program on and going, and he's still a threat. Anytime we hear Moores Island coming, we start polishing some of our better athletes week for him. Everybody went throw a blow on him.
He's got an Olympic champion, boy, Sean.
Yeah, he got an Olympic champion. That's our pastor. We call him Pastor Williams. More, we call him Coach Williams, but that's our pastor.
Sean Miller, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much, my friend. Thank you for the time. And of course, we know when both all of the athletes land, I'm looking forward to having you guys in studio with the Hit Back Guardian Radio. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on the show, and good day, Bahamas.
Good day. All right. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. When we come back, I want to get a brief, summation. My good friend C.A. Nuri is joining me. I can't wait. And then we have some young emerging leaders, and I wanted to get their thoughts on something that is, you know, so impactful today and what their thoughts are on this whole thing going on. We'll be back. Right. I see my friend C.A. Look, he's about to fall asleep. We'll be back right after this.
Prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
That. am. I've got my good friend, C.A. Nuri, joining me. C.A., we won gold, buddy.
Bahamas got gold, you know, it's something to celebrate. But just now was an awesome interview, and I appreciate it. It was good to hear an endearing story from a father who's a coach. And for him to tell his story and to tell the story of the advent of his daughter moving on to be a professional athlete. And I think the Bahamas needs to know, especially the story about the injuries. That was very much telling. And I appreciate that, to know that what happened.
Yeah, no, and it was just great information. And I think it's good to get that behind the scenes sort of storytelling of what athletes go through. And many of us, you know, well, she pulled up in the 200, right? Or she didn't finish and be, you know, it's all of that narrative. But these are humans that are going through, and they are doing their best. And she showed us who she is and used wisdom. One of the things that I like what Sean says is that when it comes to coaching, she's very teachable. And so she listens to instructions. If you notice, he said, and we saw it, if you were watching the race, Sean Miller, her dad, said, CA, that he told her the instruction was don't come out of the gate too fast. And if you watch that race, she did not come out of the block smoking as everyone else did. And that was the instruction. Check to see how it feels by the first 200. And she said it felt good. She told him it felt good. And then he knew it was on. She came out of there. There wasn't much space between her and others. And that was it. And before the final curve, right before the final curve, you saw her make room. And you were like, this is it. In my house, we were freaking right out. I was freaking out. The baby's
who knew there were so many mechanics involved? I just thought she'd get up and run. You know, she'd run your hardest and you fall out at the finish line. To know that there's a strategy. You know, there's a 200 meter, a 300 meter, and then you upturn. You know, that's all also interesting to know. And we need more interviews like that. And there are a number of parent coaches who are intimately involved in their child's success in terms of track and field. And I'm hoping that in the future we'll have more interviews like that to know what is the difference between being a parent coach and a regular coach, and how is it that he's able to reel her in and said, okay, you're home now. I'm your coach again. Let's start again. Yeah. So that was interesting to know too.
And also, just as a note, Devin Charlton, the hurdler who made the finals, Devin Charlton, her father is one of the coaches for Team Bahamas there right now at the Olympic team. So for the Olympic team. So this is, you know, this is a factory. This is a system that is going on.
It's definitely a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah. And so it's a lot to be proud of with that. And I think that, you know, now two gold medals, a defense of a gold medal for Shawnee. The first will be many for Stevie Gardner. At least one more. Shawnee is at her prime of 27. You got Stevie Gardner, who is Steven, and we call him Speedy Stevie, so pardon me if I keep saying Stevie, who's close in age. I think he's about 26 as well. Maybe younger, can't remember. But they're in their prime. And then we also have other athletes that were with Team Bahamas. And I got to speak with Stevie this morning, and I got to speak with Breanne Bethel, and hopefully we can get them on the show as time progresses and the athletics is done and we can get them on. We got a few callers, but I wanted to bring up this point before we get to those calls. That through all of this, I'm hoping that what motivates us now with all of these wins is knowing that if we can get two gold medals.
Yes.
And we're only 300 plus thousand, close to 400,000 people. Mm-hmm. Per capita, we are the winningest country per capita in the Olympics, period. There's no other country per capita. And so should we not be putting more funding into it? Not just because it is, you know, I could ask, let me not even go there because I got callers, but there's a lot that I think we can walk away from this, motivated to do more for our youth, sports, and our culture. That this should motivate us to do. But we got a call on the line. Caller, you're on the hit back. C.A. Nuri, my co-host right now. Welcome.
Yes. Good evening.
How you doing?
Good evening.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I want to congratulate. I didn't even know my cousin, Shawnee. When I say cousin, you know that's Bahamian vernacular. My name's everyone wants to be your family now. But, you know, this is Amos Miller. But just saying, I didn't even know my namesake, Shawnee Miller, her parents was athletes. on the level in the BAAAs. So that's a major accomplishment for the BAAAs, you see? Mm-hmm. And so, but for her to do it back-to-back, double for her trouble, okay, that's what it is. That's what the Bahamian people needed to lift our spirits, okay, and keep our heads lifted, as our national anthem said. Lift our heads to the rising sun, Bahamalan. Tell the road you and I together, unified, have trod that leads us to Yahweh Elohim, in Jesus' name. So that's all I really called to say, to congratulate her parents and the BAAAs. And then all of the coaches, of course. And then to say you look lovely today, of course.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. All right, we got another call on the line. Call, you're on the hit back. Welcome.
Hey, Liz.
Hi, you're on the air.
A pleasure. Good afternoon, Miss Black Sparky here.
Sparkalicious.
Hey, what's happening, Bogalicious? You know,
not everything's good.
First of all, I'd like to also congratulate Jamaica, our brothers and sisters to the south.
Yes.
This is also Happy Independence Day, Jamaica. Today is their Independence Day, August the 6th, 1962.
All right.
And they got in some golds, too, and some silvers, too. So, you know, we got to congratulate our brothers and sisters down there in Jamaica. I wish I could get back in Old Juarez. If I'd been down there one time, I won't go back down there.
You know, but, that's a whole different motivation there, Sparky. I see you now. I see you.
Yeah, and not only that, see, you got to also compare these three each other. But per capita, they got 3 million people in Jamaica. We don't even have 1 million in the Bahamas. Not even a half a million yet. I don't know how they count these figures. I grew up saying we had 250,000 people. All of a sudden, we got 400. I don't know where them children come from. But we still have a lot. But anyway, you know, I'd like to congratulate the complete Miller family. See, I go back from far back past the pot cake and them. We got to mention a man who started off with them called the big brother, Hardy Miller. He was the fast 400 mile, and then Lefty took over from him. And then you also had Robbie Miller and Terry Miller. And Sean also, all of them was athletes, a distance runner. And I remember meeting Mr. Miller, Sean, her father, down at the bowling alley when we were building the bowling alley. One day he came down there to meet Hattie. Because Hardy was working out as a manager. I was a manager also.
Hold on. Sorry, Sparky, 1 minute. I have a few other callers, so I want you to really quickly, because I can't have
I was trying to get a little story there. But, you know, I remember talking to his daddy like you, and he was telling me at that time the hard work that they put in, waking up early in the morning to go on Sandless Beach and the different beaches to straighten their legs, running in the sand and so forth. And I must say today, I was a big crybaby at two times. Coming around that 200-meter mark, I was started up doing, good thing I was in a room by myself, I was carried on, calling some bad words, some good words, bringing her home. But when she stood on that doggone podium with that national anthem, I could have seen a couple of little things draining out from the eye underneath her mask. And I was in my room crying like a big doggone baby.
Thank you, Sparky.
I know what a Bahamian feel like now. And we're next up. I'm a Bahamian, and I love it. Have a good day.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. We got one more caller before we, switch gears real quick. Caller, you're on the hit back. Welcome.
Good afternoon. First and foremost, I'd like to congratulate our gold medalists and all to the full Bahamas Olympic team, including the swimmers, all the coaches and everything. And I want to say a special congratulations to my schoolmate, my classmate, Sean Miller, and his wife, May. I know Sean had Olympic dreams himself, but not this way. I think he wanted to be the one running on the track, too. But that's just a joke for him, because we was in class together at R.M. Bailey. I know the hard work and thing that he put in.
Paces.
And I hope that there's a book, a couple of books, they're already working on to tell this story. So this is a great national story, an international story that needs to be told from the Miller family and all the Olympians who made it to the top level to qualify for the Olympics from the Bahamas. So all they should be writing books so that they can inspire the next generation.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I think one of those things, and of course you can feel free to give us a call and thank the Olympians that are, you know, congratulate Stevie. We got two more callers online. We congratulate Stevie, congratulate Shawnee. We also have Brianne, all of the young women who ran the 4x4. And we still have the 4x1 to go. So looking forward to that as well. What other stuff do we have? But we digress. Swimmers and everything. We got another call on the line. Caller, you're on the hit back. Welcome.
Hello, Nadia.
Hi, how you doing?
Wonderful, man. Wonderful. Excellent. And I'm just going just to congratulate that great team that we have in Tokyo. And also to give God the glory for it. You know, because of them actually, you know, we have come a long way. This is what hard work does. And this is how we're paid off, you know. And also to give the government heads up that no matter what child, where the child is from, Moss Island, Cat Island, Ragged Island, it is important that they get their rightful deserve and cough it up. Find it in the treasury. Just find every other thing.
Find that in the treasury. I'm with you, my boy. Find that money in the treasury. We got one last caller. Okay. Thank you so much, my friend. Caller, thank you. Welcome. You're on the hit back. Hello, caller. You're on the air. All right. We lost the caller. CA, okay. So this is where, you know, I get excited. To me, this is an opportunity now. I'm all excited, right? I'm all excited. And I can't wait for my next segment as well, because we have a bunch of young people, young, vibrant Bahamians who are going to be joining us right after this segment, really on the heels of something so big for the country, what it means to them, the investment in youth, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to that. But now this is me. If I am sitting down and I have an agenda for youth, sports, or culture, if I have that agenda, I would think this is the perfect time to lobby for it, because of something that has happened that was so magnanimous. What do you think?
I only could smile because I remember that we going through COVID, right? And that we borrowed so much money just to keep people afloat. And now you're saying spending money. But I understand your point. Now mm-hmm. It's the time to lobby and to stress the point and the importance of such. And you normally see such happens after such sporting events and national important events like that. So I expect to see some lobbying going on. As you know, each government, each administration tend to invest heavily in youth sports and education in general. And even though that this administration did a small cutback because whatever they had to do. But I don't want to negate the fact that each government tend to be committed to such. And we need to find some innovative ways on how we can finance such projects, right? It has to be a partnership between government and the private sector. We have billionaires in Laifuki and Albany mm-hmm. who I'm sure are willing to invest in the Bahamas. They are eager, and I'm sure they watch the Olympics all the same to know that next door to them is someone who won gold. And to help them invest in the Bahamians to say, well, you can be a part of this, I'm sure that they're eager to participate. And I'm just saying that I think that we need to find some innovative ideas on how we can finance these projects in general.
I love that idea too. And I mean, even bringing it up, we have sports academies here on island. You know, we have Max Fit for baseball. And so that's one, right? And then we have, of course, Albany School here. That is another sports academy. Perhaps one of the great ways is to help finance with scholarships. Let's get some of these kids in there. Before summer camps were closed, there was, what's the name of that? Lacrosse. How many Bahamians play lacrosse? We don't play lacrosse. But lacrosse has great scholarships, and we're athletic, right? Mm-hmm. Run around with a stick and a net and learn how to play it, and you might get a scholarship, right? One of the great angles of getting a scholarship now is tennis. Like, not now, but it's been tennis, has been golf. But there's a lot of sports that we don't get into because there is a cost. There's a higher cost. And what I believe that sports does, it impacts youth. So you're connecting with youth as well. It creates discipline. It gives that morale and that building of team or that building of purpose. For many, it might just be that thing that gets them the university education. But it gives them an opportunity that they may not have had before. And idle hands. You know what they're saying, idle hands is the devil's workshop. Get more people, young people involved in extracurricular activities. You know, where the street corners and the communities have sporting programs that are funded as a part of our urban renewal, right? Get the kids and then, you know, make sure that there are parks and, you know, basketball courts within certain mileage, square mileage, that it isn't. And of course, we're small, so it shouldn't take that much to do something like this, not just basketball. Give them the opportunity, as we have with the sport, the stadium right now, which is Nassau-centric. And there's a lot of things that are simply New Providence-centric that won't help Moore's Island, that they need a track, right? And but listen, maybe you don't need a track, because boy, Stevie's feet working on them, that rocky ground. If Stevie had a track, he might have had a callus or something, might never have won. We need to make sure, maybe running on rock and giving you same boat speed. But I think that there's great opportunities here, you know, where we can not, I feel as if our that ministry is the place where the many persons in cabinet are like, well, that's the lowest rung. For me, I think that is the highest honor. Right there with education, the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture should be your highest honor. If ever I ran in government and I was elected by the people, I'd say put me right there in that ministry. If I could get a cabinet job, put me there. I want that job. I don't want no other job. Let me deal with it and activate. I think you could do some wonderful things in this whole country through that same ministry. And I don't think we get any respect there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But it's so nice and delightful to talk about something other than COVID, you know, other than the problems of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. to know that the entire Bahamas, and I assume the entire Bahamas, came and wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning to watch Shawnee run. You know, we expected the goal. We were anticipating the goal. We're eager to see if she could do it. And we know that she's nursing injuries. So we've had the support and we're all praying and praising her. So it's good to find a different topic and to bring the entire Bahamas together and say, hey, good show. Congratulations. And to celebrate. That coupled with, I think, moving forward, similar to swimming, there needs mm-hmm. to have clubs attached to schools. I know in yes. Jamaica they have such, right?
Yes.
And I know that Coach Miller mentioned that some public schools, the talented kids tend to fall away on through the cracks. And it's mostly because they don't have a club there where the students could go mm-hmm. after school and say, well, I'm a part of this team and the team is attached and sponsored by
the school
itself, right?
Yeah.
And where they can even solicit funds and sponsorship for that organization. And I'm hoping that moving forward, that we can attach one or two clubs to public schools and perhaps create smaller tracks. I know St. Augustine has a, for lack of a better word, a makeshift track, not a professional-like mm-hmm. track, but this mm-hmm. has trained many, many a student to get a scholarship because they have the long jump, the triple jump, the 400 meter measurements and all of that. And all of that can be duplicated. It doesn't have to be state-of-the-art, overwhelming track, spending millions and millions of dollars on. It just needs to be something that these schools can use. I know that schools like Government High would have to leave their school campus altogether. You know, C.I. Walker would have to leave their school campus altogether just to practice and do and play sports because they build a school that doesn't have it, you know. So that needs to be solved.
Yeah, and it helps with some of our health issues, too. If we start to focus more, remember we were supposed to do baseball, softball in schools?
Yes.
Is that happening? Right? I've not. Do we have, like, softball in government schools where we're playing it now? Someone needs to tell me because it was definitely after I graduated, but I know it was an initiative and I haven't heard much about it. I haven't heard about any major Government High versus R.M. Billy softball, you know, matches. And I think we're losing what used to be a great sports country to keep just a sports subculture and not
we
a sports
had a great
culture.
Baseball softball culture too, where we had talented high schoolers who could have gone abroad and get scholarship off of softball, you know,
and
that narrative needs to happen again. And now we have talented basketball players, right, who have taken the opportunity to leave early from mm-hmm. in high school to learn skills.
And from Grand Bahama. Can I just say, a lot of our basketball players can be traced back to Grand Bahama and how they train their basketball players. And special thanks to all of the coaches, all of the parents, everyone who believes in sports, who funnel, who practice without any sort of extra funding, who do this out of the love for it, the love for young people, and are doing this and protecting children and not predators too. I mean, consider this, in all of the years, not many stories of predators and those who are, hopefully we dealt with them, but we digress. Some text here before we go, CA. Tell your guests, and that was for Sean Miller. If you missed any part of the show, the beginning part of the show, Sean Miller, father of Sean A. Miller Weibo, was on the show with us telling us about her injury and what she went through going and leading up to that race, her historic race. And so you can, of course, watch it again. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook. Feel free to follow the page, Hit Back with Nahaja Black on Facebook or on YouTube, and type in Nahaja Black and you can catch that show, that part of the show. Someone said, tell your guest, We the Bahamians will make sure his daughter gets a property in Lyford Key, $85,000 cash, and a lot of perks. Congratulations. I like this Bahamian. I don't know who they are to say that, but yeah. Very specific, right? I feel like that was a conversation. Was that a conversation or we made that up?
It's a thing. We have money to spend.
Yeah. Someone says, make sure she gets land that has utilities, not crown land.
Well, we had that issue before. You know?
Yes.
We have that issue.
Any of the Golden Girls moving their property yet?
One of the Golden Knights did, and he didn't have any electricity. Yeah, built a whole place.
Solar. You went solar. Someone says, who pays for our Olympians' traveling costs during the season? Well, I'm thinking
athletics have stipends. I just don't know how that's going.
The subvention varies, though. It's a scale. So the better you are, the more money you get, unfortunately, right? So, I mean, unfortunately and unfortunately, because those who aren't that great can't be funded to do more or to get better training and whatnot. But it's a scale. Someone says, so traveling costs, if you don't have a contract, you tend to pay for it yourself if the subvention doesn't carry you. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Say that again. Do not beg for anything for your daughter. She deserves it. Don't beg. I totally agree with you. That's for Sean Miller then. Good evening. How many more Olympics do you think Sean A. Miller is good for before she retires? I think Sean A. for sure, the next one, which is only 3 years away, 2024, Sean A. can definitely defend it and come out gold. Yes. Come out gold.
All right. I think she's good for two, at least two. Both of them are good for two.
Well, definitely. I'm going with both of them. Giving me two more, and let's see how it goes. And plus, Shawnee has been talking about the heptathlon. You know, her husband is an heptathlete.
Nice, yes.
Yeah, I know, but I'm 10. What? Well, no, hep is 70. I don't know about that 17th.
That's a lot of running.
That's a lot of things. That's a lot. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. When we come back, you're listening with the new Hit Back with Nahaja Black. Special thanks to my good friend, C.A. Nuri, who always is so gracious with his time and joining me. Sean Miller joined us at the beginning of the show. When we come back, we're going to have joining us Felicity Darville, Jabez, and I can't remember Jabez's last name, O'Neill Meadows. They'll all be joining us, along with Mario McCartney. We're talking about young people and their impact. What are they looking forward to? We'll be back right after.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. It's the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. It's the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. It's the Hit Back with Nahaja Black.
To the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, it's a great day. Something always good news, and I'm excited about the show that I have this particular segment. I've been wanting to do this segment and have this conversation for a while, and it just so happened that it fell into my lap. But today, of course, with the news of the athletes winning, trying to get as much of that coverage. With Shawnee winning, and then, of course, the day before, Stevie winning. Really want to get as much of that coverage. Has reduced the time, but we definitely going to maximize it. I have joining me, and this is all a part of a group that are called Emerging Leaders, and this is with And I'm very proud to say a part of the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation's model. And so I'm very proud as one of the founders to have my good friend, Mario McCartney. You know that he is brilliant legal mind joining us on the show with us today, just to give us an idea of this wonderful concept of emerging leaders. So Mario, before I introduce my young emerging leaders, brilliant young Bahamians who already been making an impact, tell us a bit about this program.
Good afternoon, Nahasha, and hello, Bahamas. You know, I listen to your show all the time. I never imagined that I'll be here today, but I am truly honored and most appreciated. Today you're going to meet a few of the participants of the Emerging Leaders Development Program today. This is a program obviously dedicated to the foundation's objectives, which is to preserve the natural resources of the Bahamas, to educate the public and what the country has, as well as to encourage entrepreneurship and positive commercial activities here in the Bahamas, eco-friendly as well. So today you're going to meet Jabez, Felicity, and O'Neill Meadows today.
And you know what's exciting, as I bring them on, I see O'Neill is looking very sharp. Look at O'Neill. He looks very sharp right now. O'Neill Meadows joining us online. Felicity is there. I can't see her. And then Jabez is getting himself sorted.
I am here.
How you doing, Felicity? It's good to have you on.
Blessings and love, Nahaja. Thank you.
O'Neill, darling, you're looking all dapper. It's good to have you on, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the compliment. I'm good. Just pretty excited. I've never really done something like this before, so it's like a first for me. So I'm pretty excited to see how it goes.
Oh, you're doing well so far. I'll tell you now. You're already acing it. And then I've got my good friend, Jabez Paul, joining us. And I see he might have a little freeze, you know, a little glitch in the matrix. So we'll see how it goes with Jabez joining us as well. Well, okay. I want to welcome you all. Thank you so much for the time and for joining us on the show, because this conversation is about our youth, right, Mario? And about their place. And are we considering our young people? Let me give you a little bit of background. And actually, I should probably let everybody else give their background a bit. But I'll start with you, Felicity. Give folks a brief introduction of who you are as a young Bahamian, and what do you do?
Well, you know, I consider myself young, but I'm not actually in set with O'Neill and Jabez.
But nobody knew that. I was just telling that. I knew that, but why are you giving them your story?
So what happened is, you know what, the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation reached out to college students, among others, for the Emerging Leaders Program. And so because I'm a student at the Bahamas Agriculture and Marine Science Institute, I was given the opportunity to join the program. And even though already established as a leader, I still took the opportunity because we are always learning. That's the whole purpose of life, is lifelong learning. And it has really been a rewarding and edifying experience. But other than being a student at BAMSI, I am a professional media specialist with more than 25 years background in my field.
Mm-hmm. And O'Neill, I know Jabez is having some technical issues. And Jabez, when you get on, just wave so I can see you. O'Neill, tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, I am a first year law student, law and criminal justice student at the University of the Bahamas.
I need you to come up a little bit more. Your audio is a little low, so just come up closer to your microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, yeah. Like I was saying, I just started UB this year, January. So I just started. I'm studying law and criminal justice. Currently, I'm working for my uncle, who is present in the live. I'm an intern for right now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, all right, so let me give you guys the 411 on why this was important for me to have this discussion. And because we as a country, we do a lot of talking, right? Like a lot of talking, right? O'Neill and Felicity and Mario, we do a lot of talking. And there's always people talking about the forward movement of the country, where we're going, how are we getting there. So we're speaking about the country in its present state and then about the future. But what never seems to be happening when we discuss the future is our future plans for our young people. And I wonder, and a lot of times, you know, once being considered young, now that I cross a certain line now, O'Neill, you know, I can't. I have to be like Felicity and do a little, you know, public service advisory when it's time. But I wonder, what are young people thinking when they, you know, when you think about the Bahamas? What do you think about your place in it? And how do you feel that the country views you, especially as a young man? O'Neill, I'll let you go.
Honestly, I hate to say it, but I don't see much progression right now, because it's like us as young people, we really don't, like, it's more of a who you know society. So sometimes we don't have the opportunity to, you know, give ideas or, you know, go on to show examples of how we can make the country better or, you know, make things happen for our country. So, I mean, I was hopefully in the years to come, maybe that, you know, some things turn around and, you know, some young people can come in, like myself, can come in and, you know, just try and make an opportunity for us so we can make our country a better place. But for right now, honestly, I just don't.
You don't see it? No. You don't see it? No. You know, I always wonder, is there a pathway? If I were to ask you now, what is the Bahamian dream? What would you say that is, O'Neill? Do you know what the Bahamian dream is? What do you dream about, or you think that young Bahamians dream about?
I feel like everybody wants to be successful in life, whether it's to own a big house, you know, have a business, have a family, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be something like that.
Yeah, but do you think that that's commonplace among your peers?
It depends, because, you know, everyone's different. So, you know, you get some people who think that, hey, can't, because I ride in the best 2020 car, and, you know, I still live with my parents, I made it. And then you get some people who think that, you know, I don't have a house yet, and I'm almost 25, I haven't made it yet. So it's, people have different perspectives on things. So mm-hmm. I can't really say that everyone thinks on one accord.
So I'm going to ask this now with this platform for emerging leaders. And Mario, Felicity, I want you guys to join in, because this is where I'm always interested, right? Because leadership, why the program? Why this program of emerging leaders or continuing to prune and train? Is everybody trying to be a politician? Is everybody trying to be a pastor? Like, what is this program? And why are so many young people actually involved? Like, what are they saying? What is going on? Felicity, and I'll start with you. Why this?
Saying that the woman was holding her beautiful.
You heard me, Felicity?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Oh, not anymore. But while Felicity is trying to fix that, Mario, I'll go to you.
Well, essentially, you know, with the program, you know, we want to give the future leaders the ability. What I find to be, you know, missing in this conversation is really the right chance to respond. You know, you see so many things going on, and everyone thinks that it's the politician's role to address these matters. Where, you know, we saw a void where, you know, you see a lack of volunteerism, for example, mm-hmm. That's taking place. And, you know, with the program, you know, we're showing the participants, both we're giving them the skills in order to demonstrate leadership as well as the experience. So when you have issues like, you know, garbage being brought into the country, for example, You know, you see where people are wondering what's going on, and you know, obviously you see, I think someone on your show, on the previous show, came up and spoke on behalf of it, and I want to give him props. That's Mr. Anselo Davis, for doing that. But we need a lot more of that. So this, when we structured this program, and obviously at the very beginning, it was really designed to, you know, to help out the legal side in reconstructing the foundation. And, you know, I came up with the idea because at the time we had so many young persons coming in, applying for work at my practice. Mm-hmm. And it became so overwhelming that I'm like, you know, let's try to connect the dots here. We have a foundation that needs volunteers to help with the restructuring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of a sudden it started off with 5 volunteers all the way up to 16.
Wow.
And these are persons,
wow, really?
Yeah. These are persons with passion who are very concerned about their mm-hmm. country, their resources, and their well-being. And, you know, from that point on, you know, we gave them practical work. Obviously, you know, it wasn't all lawyers. We had the legal side, which O'Neill is a part of. You know, we gave them the practical experience in drafting documents and drafting policies for the foundation. But you also had persons in marketing. You had persons in social media. And everyone came together as one unit to help develop a plan for better responsiveness with ongoing environmental and, you know, other social concerns. Mm-hmm. As well as to be a part of more or less a corporate effort to, you know, to address these concerns.
So yeah, now joining us. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so after you know, obviously the program is in its final quarter, but we have had overwhelming contributions from Bahamians from the diaspora. You know, you have presenters coming in, giving weekly you know, presentations on various skills, leadership skills. And honestly, I didn't think that it would elevate to this point where we are literally getting a group of young, inspiring individuals to take charge in the issues that's happening in this country today.
And I think that's where it's exciting for me, right? For someone who's always looking to see where we make sure, where we are fueling the fire of a new Bahamas, right? Jabez Paul joining us as well. Jabez is the owner. And wait, make sure I get this right, Jabez, because I love the clothing line, by the way. Co-founder of Bahamian Clothing Line, FDC Apparel, joining us as well. And I know Jabez from something else before that, so it's a pleasure to have young Mr. Paul on the show with us. He's mine now, but you say young, right? Just for fun. If you're just tuning in, O'Neill Meadows, Jabez Paul, Mario McCartney, we're talking about, we're talking with some of our young emerging leaders, our young people. And this is not in politics. They're young people who are taking a stand in a place where they're saying, hey, we matter, right? So Jabez, let me ask you this. And I asked O'Neill this as well. When it comes to your place in the country, do you feel as if, as a young person, that we're listening to you? Are we listening to the young people? Do the young people feel as if they have a voice, or are we just functioning at this point?
I think, well, good afternoon. Thanks for being on the show. And I made it through the matrix. So
yeah, you did make it through the show.
But by far and large, I feel as though we generally don't feel like we have that much of a voice. I think that is becoming more apparent through conversations with older people, not just parents, but when you have more conversation in general. I think the older generations are starting to realize that there needs to be more dialogue, but I don't think we're at a point where our opinion is absolutely valued yet. So we almost kind of, we make light of it and make joke of it amongst ourselves. But of course, you laugh to keep from crying in some cases. But for the most part, I think when I look at the temperature of like our age group, we don't feel very much listened to be honest.
Yeah, and I like that you said that because, well, I'm interested in that. Like, what O'Neill, Jabez, if you look at things right now, right, and I'm curious as to where you guys would view things, right? If I were to say the state of the economy, what is the first thing that comes to your mind, O'Neill? The state of the economy, from your perspective, I want you to be anybody but O'Neill. All right, don't mind your uncle. You can't get fired. You straight.
The state of the economy. I mean, really and truly, I feel like before COVID, it was ever in a bad place, and I just feel like COVID just dragged it down, you know, much more. So I don't feel like it's in a good place at all, really, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Do you feel like we're heading in the right direction? With the economy, with the country as a whole?
No, honestly, no, because it's like, I just feel like we do everything else but, like, put our country first, you know? Like, we would do for another country before we do for our country.
Yeah, that's deep. Jabez, state of the economy, your profession, your business owner, you're a young businessman.
I also happen to have a degree in economics, if that helps.
That's right.
But, I think the easy thing is to say that our economy isn't like just flailing, but I think after further consideration, our economy isn't so much in a bad position, it's more lopsided. Because if you look at different areas of our economy, there are certain fractions of it that are performing rather well, but you don't see that trickle throughout the rest of the economy. So I would say our economy is in chokehold. Like, you know, when you have a hose and it has like bends in it, and you have water building up in certain places, I feel like I think that's by far the definition of our economy. So if there's a 20-foot hose, I feel like there's a lot of water bursting out of 5 feet of that hose, and the other 15 feet of that hose is very, very dry.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I like that analogy. I could see that. And you're right. It's like we're flailing a bit. We're not balanced.
Right.
The call for diversification. Right. As young people, what is this? I mean, it's a call. Is it the same call? Do you believe that you are without any, privilege, right? Let's take out the who we know privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe, gentlemen, because we lost Felicity, I gather she went into the matrix. Everybody be mindful of the pills that you take, please. But do you believe that there is without the privilege, is that the playing field is leveled? Do you feel as if success is yours across the board, no matter what you do, how you do it? Both of you shaking your head.
Not at all. Not in the slightest. I feel, even to the point of graduating with a degree, I think a degree has in some sense became the new kind of high school diploma, as in everybody kind of has it. And not to put it down, but it doesn't, you come in there with a bachelor's degree and they're not like, oh, let's hire you right away.
No.
You come in there with a bachelor's degree and they're like, okay, go to the back of the line. And like you said, if you don't know anyone, I mean, to be honest, I feel like even if you know someone, it's hard. So it's kind of scary for us. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It's pretty scary.
Yeah. And I too came home with an economics degree and it was so bad I had to start my own business, but God is good. I ended up well, I'll tell you that. That was a push we needed. Start your own business. You've never had a boss. O'Neill, then what do you think? Do you think that without the benefits of who you know, and your best saying, man, you might need to know more people, apparently. do you feel as if the success level is balanced, it's standard for everyone across the board?
Not at all. I actually agree with Jabez, but, like what he was saying and then what I would say too is if you listen to all of the stories from parents maybe, sending their children off to college, you would hear that most of them came back and you would always hear something like, oh, when they went to an interview, they were either, they would be on a call, waiting on a call, or they were overqualified, or, you know, something of that sort. So it's like, you know, without the who you know, it's like a slight chance that you probably would get hired or, you know, get an opportunity.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja. We're talking to some of the emerging leaders, participants of the Emerging Leaders Program at the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation, one of the facilitators and actually the idea man for this, Mario Moxie. Hi, Pastor Mario. Mario McCartney, attorney at law, Lex Justice, I think it is, right? Right, Mario? It's Lex Justice, right?
That's right.
Yes, sorry. I know you guys don't advertise, but I'm just telling people that just so that I didn't advertise it. I was just saying.
Well, hey, it's most appreciated.
I'm here for you, buddy, because, you know, you're legit. I trust you in my will and testament, but I digress. one of the things here, and we got to take a break real quick. But before I go, let's take the break. Let's come back because I want to ask that question and I don't want to pause after the question. So we'll take a quick break. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. When we come back, let's talk a bit more with our emerging leaders. We'll be back right after this.
Banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
No matter how careful you are, sometimes accidents happen. When it comes to your auto insurance coverage, we know what you need. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we provide superior customer service through a quick and efficient claims department that you can trust to get you quickly and safely back on the road again. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are.
Live your best life.
You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Mario McCartney, O'Neill, Meadows, and Jabez. Paul joining us. We're talking with some of our young people here. Mario being the senior man of the group, but he's a facilitator. So, you know, we don't count him for all of the gray in his beard. But so don't worry about that. I have a question for you guys. The question I have is, right now, right? One of the stats that I thought was interesting, and really, which is why I think it helped to fuel this conversation for me, was that we have a demographic, one of the largest demographics right now, is in our younger group, right? That 18 to 35 or 30, 40, something like that. But this group is least likely to vote in any election. They found that to be the case, right? But this group, based on reports, is the group largest percentage who believe that we're not going in the right direction. That's your demographic. That's your body of people. But we're not going in the right direction and we're not interested in voting, right? And I think I know why, right? Because I, you know, but I'm curious as to O'Neill and Jabez as young men in this country. Why do you think that is? And O'Neill, I'll start with you.
I don't know why, but for some reason, like at the beginning, you were kind of like in and out. So I didn't really hear you until the end. But what's the question about why us as young people don't vote?
Well, you know, why is it that, yeah, and this is not in just in don't vote, but not interested in partaking of this process that, you know, is there a reason why, or do you believe that? Why do you think that is, that whole concept that many aren't wanting to vote?
I mean, I feel as if people just think that, you know, usually it's just the same two colors and, you know, there's never really a change. So, I mean, I guess people just saying, you know, what's the sense of it if we're just having the same thing every 5 years or so?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. That's a good one. Jabez?
Yeah, I agree. Even if there were the same, even if the two colors kind of like balanced out, like if there was some benefit to us in the long run, I feel like we'd be more driven. But because, and we're not just taking it from what we've seen in our lifetime, we've heard like our short history, we've only been independent like less than 50 years. So we've taken in our learning from what we've seen, but also heard of how repeatedly over the last almost 50 years there has been like, and that's not to say that we didn't have our forefathers that fight for some of the rights that we do benefit from today, mm-hmm. but because we've seen over like a long period of time the what's the use of voting and y'all can do what y'all want to do anyhow and
yeah.
all these things that happen, it's just like, I mean, that coupled with the fact that our generation is a very disinterested generation, because I think we have to deal with a lot of social media has made us aware of everything wrong almost, mm-hmm. so it's a lot to kind of process, so mm-hmm. we kind of become numb to certain things. But yeah, in addition to what O'Neill said, I think it's just an overall what we've grown to realize, like we're going to hell in a handbasket, like you might as well enjoy the ride, like that's how it feels almost, not to be negative, but that's how it That's how it feels sometimes.
But that's the truth. You know, when I say that's the truth, I think that it's fair to feel that way, right? That it's somehow it's like, I mean, you know, is anybody going to listen to me? You know, does my vote change the culture? Do young people, as young men, and again, I go back to this, do you believe that you can impact the culture? Can you impact from your space, Jabez, O'Neill? Do you believe that you can impact it or change the culture in any way? Or do you believe that it requires a more concerted effort from young people to change the culture?
I feel like we can definitely kickstart it. I feel like, because just yesterday I went out with a few friends to grab some dinner, and we talked about some conversations that don't usually happen. And part of what we said during the conversation is it takes us having these conversations so that we can light the fire to have other conversations out there. So I think it does generally start with us creating a safe space to have certain sensitive and important conversations. I think that needs to swell a more unified and dramatic voice, in my opinion.
You know, what type of conversations would that be? What type of conversations are you guys having right now as 26, 27-year-olds?
I don't know if we could really discuss that on this show. But, but one conversation that we did have last night was in regards to mental health and how a lot of us as individuals, not just 20-something, but 30, 40, 50-year-olds, mm-hmm. were traumatized in different ways as kids. And because we as behemoths make light of a lot of things, there isn't a lot of space to talk about that without feeling judged. So that's one of those things we can kind of reshape culture to be like, okay, it's okay to talk about this. But again, something like that, that kind of has to spread wildfire so that more people feel free to talk about it. So I think I'll talk more about mental health, dealing with trauma. Some people, whether that be family issues, whether that be abuse issues. I think that's kind of the hot topics for our generation in particular.
Yeah, no, I think that that's interesting as well. So then, O'Neill, I got to ask you, as a young Bahamian man, what does it mean for you to be Bahamian? Because I always wonder if we were to, the connection, I believe, okay, guys, let me tell you what I think and why I'm asking this question. I believe that there's a connection between our pride of results with our understanding of our country and who we are as people, right? So I was listening to something very casually, was watching a video with Jada Pinkett. Jada Pinkett in 2020, early 2020, Airbnb paid for this experience for her and her family because, you know, Red Table makes money, blah, blah, blah. And they went to Singapore. And so they were to have the Singaporean experience, right? And one of the things that this host family that entertained them, the gentleman from the host family that entertained them said, you know, and this was fast, this was a big one for me. He said to them, you know, we're a young country, just 1965. And so we don't have time to have government dislike each other. We're all in this together because we have a purpose, one goal. We're trying to grow. That's 1965. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, so you weren't colonized? Like, where's your slavery? Like, y'all different. That's different. But you look at the results, and the results show that there is that unified goal. There is an understanding that we are Singaporeans, that we are going to use our space as best to protect the environment. We are going to build so that everyone has housing. We are going to ensure that, you know, we're growing but not selling out our culture. That's important to me and makes me wonder. And so they have an identity. They know who they are. And so I have to ask, as young people, young men, do you feel as if we know who we are as Bahamians that would lead us to this bigger goal? O'Neill, I know. I'm sorry. I laying it on thick. What you got for me?
I mean, I feel like there are some Bahamians that know how to achieve that goal and who have won that, but it's not much. And I just feel like, you know, as Bahamians, most of us are just, you know, what they would say, all for me, baby. So, like, I just feel like everybody, like, just more, it's more greed than, you know, people wanted to see, I mean, come together and see, like, us succeed as a country. It'd be more greed than somebody actually wanting us to do that.
Yeah, no, I like that answer. Jabez?
I was actually talking to an older gentleman about that the other day. He said, like, since we are less than 50, we're still very much in that what can I get from me stage of our country's development, and people trying to set up their version of, like, their generational wealth. So I think as a collective, we're still exploring what that means to be Bahamian. Because, I mean, if you ask, I guess, randomly on the street, like, what does it mean to be Bahamian? Of course, we say Bahamian music and Skull in the Boat and Kalim, Kong Sala, stuff like that. But that's not an answer. That's not
But is it even really true? Right? Because the truth is, how many Bahamians scull a boat? How many Bahamians, you know, can tell you what they listen to Bahamian music on a regular over Drake, over all of these other people? You know what I mean? Like, how many, right? And now I know I'm old now, guys, is because y'all got artists who's like, and why is there an exclamation mark in that name? Like, is that like supposed to be the I? Like, that's where I'm at now. That's I'm so embarrassed, but it's true, right? So, like, even then, I think we say what's in the book.
Yeah, but, yeah. I think we're still exploring what that means, and I think you drew a very good comparison with, like, Singapore. With us, I feel like we're still in our, like, animal farm stage. Like, you remember when animal farm, where the farmers left, but then the pigs turned into the new, like, farmers. Yeah. I feel like we're not colonized anymore, but we still have that colonial, like, okay, this is me, I rule over this, I need X, Y, and Z. So I think we're still in our animal farm-esque stage. But I think, honestly, I think we're we're getting heightened to the fact that, okay, now we have to kick the pigs out and like make a new structure. And I think the BNRF is kind of helping to restructure that a little bit, if you ask me.
Mario McCartney here, representing the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation and these emerging leaders. Before I let you guys go, Mario, the importance of this to me is wonderful. And to chat with O'Neill and Jabez, we have to do this as a longer show, and hopefully we get more of the young leaders here. And you should be very proud of your nephew, by the way. He's worth every penny. O'Neill, if you need a raise, holla. I got you. I'm going to pay it. I'm going to make sure you get it. but the importance of this, tell me, you know, before I let you go, and we literally have 2 minutes before we have to go to break, the need for more of this type of training and type of encouragement, and how can parents get their kids involved?
Well, for further information, you can always go to the website at bahamasnaturalresources.org, or you could check out the Facebook page at BNRF242. It's a simple process. If you want to become a member, you know, there's various ways to join. From it's $5 for students, or up to $25 for adults. That's an annual fee, and you know. And surprisingly, it is growing. A lot of people are getting involved. A lot of people are viewing our presentations. We have speakers from all over, from all around the world, that is contributing in some form of fashion.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned in the earlier conversations, you know, in terms of our society and our culture, you know, in terms of the youth, you know, one of the problems is the diversification of our economy. It's still tourist based, you know. When new ideas and new businesses come along, it's such a mountain climb just to get started. You know, we help countless small businesses get their business license and get their fee. You know, get their operations up and running, and it is a challenge even for practicing attorneys. So this is what the foundation is all about. We are facilitating entrepreneurship. We are creating leaders. We're giving them the necessary skills and the exposure. As my nephew, as you see here with my nephew, I don't think he ever thought that he'd be on live radio.
That's right.
But it shows that this program is real. You know, it's real, and this is just a start. And this was literally planned within a week's time, and already there's a demand for its continuation, which we are planning. Later on, I think early part of next year, it's going to be more robust. There's going to be more opportunities. And, you know, with the foundation's model of not only being a charitable organization, but also a means of facilitating new businesses, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for volunteers. So they're not going to be doing stuff for free for long. There's actually going to be opportunities for employment in a more diverse economy, which we are facilitating, and which we are growing and preparing as we speak. So it's as a protector of the foundation, you know, I would say, and honestly, I didn't imagine that I would have been so engaged in this, but you know, from the heart, it's really a great opportunity for young persons, young and old, young and hard. It's a great opportunity and to get that exposure. And you know, I would encourage everyone to partake. You know, if you are hesitant, you know, check out the Facebook page, and eventually,
and we go from there.
Remember,
thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure. Jabez Paul, Mario McCartney, O'Neill Meadows, and to Lost in the Matrix, Felicity Dobble. Guys, thank you so much. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio. When we come back, we've got BTC. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about getting fiber to my house. Woo! Can't wait. We'll be back right after this.
And Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
Looking for a roomy SUV that's affordable? Take a look at the new Chevrolet Traverse. It seats up to 8 and is ranked best in class for cargo space. Its spacious interior design offers the latest features to keep you and your family entertained. What's more, you'll get up to a 5-year, 100,000-kilometer factory warranty along with Chevrolet's superior engineering and safety record. So, test drive the new Chevrolet Traverse today at Nassau Motor Company on Shirley Street, where standards are higher.
It's a hit back, hey, with the hash of black. Hey. It's a hit back, hey, with the hash of black. Hey. It's a hit back, hey, with the hash of black.
Hey. And we're back. You're listening to the hit back with Nahaja Black. We got joining us BTC's very own Rayma Roll. Rayma, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nahaja. Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to have you on, darling. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us. And, of course, I'm excited. You know that I'm very excited because I'm looking forward. Fiber is coming to my house, my love.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Yes, yes, yes. That's definitely something to be excited about. Unfortunately, I don't have fiber just yet in my area. Oh. And so every time you guys get fiber, I'm a bit disappointed. But, you know, outside of fiber, there are so many other alternatives for our customers to get super fast internet. And so I'm, even though I'm without fiber, I'm still covered with high-speed internet. But definitely want to shed some light on our fiber footprint and what we're offering our customers. And so we're offering up to 600 megabytes of speed in our fiber areas. And I'm talking about that. Wow. I mean, that is unmeasurable speed, right?
Wow.
Yes.
600 megabytes per what? Is this per second? What are we talking? 6 megs down?
Yep.
600 megs.
Yep.
Wow.
That's a lot of speed.
That's a lot of speed.
And the lowest speed that we offer in our fiber area is 100, while the other guys are actually offering the highest speed at 100, right? So that's value.
That's crazy.
The thing is, our 100 megs is less than $50. So you definitely can't beat that. Exactly. You definitely cannot beat that. But definitely want to talk a little about what we're offering in terms of family plans.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a lot of times when we talk about family plans, our customers, they consider, you know, abroad, the U.S. But it's here, it's home, and you can now bundle your postpaid lines, whether it's two lines or four lines, with your broadband services at home. Right? And so I'm talking about one bill, one provider, and convenience.
Yes.
And so customers, you don't have to be in a fiber area to sign up for our family plans. Once you have any of our broadband packages, you can take advantage of our family plans. Once you have two, or once you want to sign up for two or four postpaid lines, and like I said, have broadband at home, you're an ideal candidate for our family plans. And so for those customers wanting to find out more information, definitely encouraging them to stop into any of our flagship locations at the BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. And for those customers not wanting to go in, of course, they can utilize our virtual store at 424-SHOP or 577-SHOP.
Wow. This is, you know, I want to say that one of these things, Rayma, is that for me, I like the value of it. What I do at home, of course, you know, now with COVID, working remotely, and having the opportunity to do this remotely. And I think from everyone, especially with COVID, has shown the importance of having stable internet, right? Yep. Having quality internet, no dropping. You know, one of the challenges is that, you know, learning that a lot of our high-speed internet is node-based, right? So that everything goes through nodes. And now you're talking about directly, not sharing, coming straight into your house.
Straight to your home.
That to me is you singing a spiritual hymn, a spiritual psalm, my sister.
And like you said, now is the perfect time for us to have expanded our fiber footprint with everybody working and schooling from home, definitely using up all of those megs, right? So we don't need any lagging, especially for gamers.
Matt, Say, my, well, it doesn't matter. I have a Nintendo Switch. It ain't like I got much. My, well, my children do. I didn't say me.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. We actually love gamers at BTC because you guys are the ones that would definitely see the value in having high-speed internet, super fast internet. And so you guys are some of the customers that we would say, hey, you need to check this out.
Yeah, no, gamers will be all up in that business. What about persons who are heavy streamers? Of course, like you said, with the family package. This is a streaming life, right? So some folks got a lot of different streaming packages, Netflix on TV, and HBO Max or whatever. You know, we have a lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. In terms of viewing, this internet package, that do you guys have, you know, how robust is it to carry that sort of load when you got like five or six devices in a house?
Definitely, you would want to look at, like you said, the amount of devices that one has in the home. And then, of course, we would then determine or help the customer to discover exactly what their needs are in terms of speed, right? Mm-hmm. But definitely, with 600 megs, I mean, you could do all kinds of things. That's a lot of speed. That's a lot of speed. But we have from 100 up to 600, right? And so we have products and plans that fits the budget of all of our customers' needs. And for those customers that are not wanting to take advantage of our family plans because they're more of a prepaid customer, I just wanted to pin in there that our SIM cards have been reduced from $15 to $7. So a customer can walk into any of our brick-and-mortar locations, the mall at Marathon, Southwest Plaza, any of our neighborhood locations, and say, hey, listen, I want a SIM card, a prepaid SIM card, and it's only $7. It's loaded with value, loaded with data. BTC to BTC minutes, so it comes with a 7-day plan already.
Wow.
Yep.
Say that. Really? What's going on at BTC?
You didn't hear? We elevated. Everything is elevated.
My God, Rayma.
And the Olympic team, they making it known that everybody that's aligned with BTC is just golden. So we doing big things at BTC right now.
I like it. Rayma Rowe from BTC. Let me ask you then, Rayma. One of the biggest concerns, and I've had the CEO on and everyone I've spoken to, the issue of customer service. People mm-hmm. are wary. Do we get fiber? But will we get, if issues are there, will it get resolved?
Of course, definitely. And so I can definitely tell you that has been one of the first objectives of Mr. Foster, our new CEO. He definitely wanted to look into correcting and improving our customer service, right? Customer service is very important to BTC. We want our customers to always return to us. And so we've definitely decreased the wait time for faults. You know, still some work to do in some areas. It's always room for progress and for work, but, you know. But I can definitely tell you we have improved. And we've definitely taken a look at the customer concerns and the queries and the issues. And like I said, we've elevated at BTC. So definitely there's no need for our customers to be worried about that, especially for our fiber customers. A lot of the times we can troubleshoot right from the office. So there's actually no need in most cases for the technician to actually go out to them when there's an issue.
That's excellent. Let me ask this now. Again, Rayma Rowe, BTC, we're talking about a lot of the fiber options and packages that BTC now has and wanting really for you and all of us to elevate with them. Family Islanders, when will this sort of tech reach into the Family Island?
Well, I am happy to say that we've already begun extending the fiber footprint outside of New Providence. Some of the islands that have fiber would include Inagua, some portions of Grand Bahama. Mm-hmm. I think San Salvador is also in that fiber footprint. Mm-hmm. I don't have a listing, unfortunately, with me today. But like I said, we have started to extend that fiber footprint outside of New Providence. And so hopefully within the next year or two, we would have covered the entire Bahamas with fiber.
And the timeline for New Providence, because I know it's a lot of work here as well, getting into the areas here and a lot of homes and whatnot.
Yeah.
What's the timeline like for New Providence?
So definitely, I know that the company has set some aggressive goals and targets towards completing New Providence. But of course, with COVID, mm-hmm. we can never give a definite timeline because things are constantly changing. But what I can tell you is We are consistently and eagerly working on those areas that have been earmarked to upgrade to fiber.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited, man. I'm really excited about this.
It is something to be excited about. We've elevated not only existing BTC customers and BTC itself, but we are elevating the Bahamas in general. So it is something to be excited about.
Trust me, Rayma. Fiber to my direct, no sharing, no drops.
It's a really big deal.
It's a big deal.
And it is.
My whole house understands. This is like football season.
Yes.
This is big for me. So now give us the packages again, Rayma, so folks can plan and where do they go, et cetera.
So definitely for those customers wanting and having no issue with coming into the brick and mortar locations at the mall at Marathon Southwest Plaza, we are open at 9:30 a.m. Monday through Saturday, close at 4:30 p.m. We're open and ready and willing to serve you. But for those customers not able to physically go into a location, our virtual sales area, is open and readily available from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., 424 Shop, 577 Shop. And for those customers not wanting to take advantage of our family plans, we have bundles, which includes TV, landline, internet, as low as $99.99, guys. So, you know, just come into the store and find out exactly what is the best offer that we have for you.
TV, landline, and internet as low as
$99.99.
Hold on. Now. So, the TV thing, that's a good channel, listen, because you know we got issues now. We have issues.
Mom,
we
like TV. Listen. Just Rainbow, know we've elevated.
You sound like it's...
We've elevated and we got over 200 channels. That's all I can say. Come into the store. We can fix you up.
Rayma Rule, BTC. Elevate with BTC, y'all. Thank you so much, Rayma.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. All right. Well, you heard the word. Listen, I am excited. I won't lie to y'all. This isn't even a gimmick or push. Fiber to my home is what I got my whole community excited about. Fiber to your home, y'all. This is a big deal for me. So I'm excited, especially thankful to BTC for doing that work. And they might get a convert. They might get a convert for the other stuff. BTC Fiber to the Home, hot diggity dog. All right, everybody, I hope you had a great day. You're having a good day. I hope that this win by Shawnee Miller-Weibo this morning, watching that race, but she didn't dive, where we saw with authority, this is how you do it, Allison Felix. Boo, ain't no shade here. America, stand watch. You didn't make it to the 400 final on the podium. We ain't gloating, but just say, no, actually, America did. What am I talking about? Allison Felix right there. Slow down, Hashi. Getting over ahead of myself. So, you know, I mean, this is one of those moments. Then you look at Stevie with a dominant performance. Stevie Gardner with a dominant performance in his meet. And it's the same with Shawnee. Having her dad on earlier and really sharing that backstory. All of these things are important. And so enjoy your weekend. Be uplifted by the good news. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you next week. We're out.